This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Welcome, welcome to CBS Mornings on this hump day. I'm Gail King.
I'm Tony DeCoppo.
I'm Nate Burleson.
First, we're going to begin with this. There is new confusion over what the CDC is recommending, its effort to slow the surge in COVID cases. Here we go. The agency is sticking with guidance on how long people should isolate, but tried to clarify its advice on testing. In the meantime, President Biden is appealing for more Americans to please get vaccinated. Weijia Zhang is at the White House to sort it all out. Weijia, good morning and good luck.
Good morning to you, Gail, and good morning, everybody. The CDC is doubling down on its guidance that people who test positive for COVID-19 can stop their isolation after 5 days if they are still asymptomatic or feeling mildly ill, and those people are still not required to get a negative test result first. However, the CDC added a caveat. If someone has access to a test and wants to take one, then they may. And those who test positive should isolate for another 5 days. The CDC is also encouraging people coming out of isolation to continue wearing that mask for an additional 5 days. Now, last week, when it scaled back the isolation period from 10 to 5 days, many outside health experts worried that that was too soon to ensure that the patient is no longer contagious without getting a test. Yesterday, the CDC posted new data that shows most transmission happens early in the infection. This all comes as the U.S. is seeing a nationwide shortage of those at-home test kits. The federal government is launching a website this month for people to order a test to be shipped for free. And President Biden also announced that he plans to double the order for Pfizer's antiviral pill from 10 million to 20 million, with the first half available likely in June. Tony?
All right, Weijia, thank you very much. For more on all this, we're going to bring in Dr. Celine Gounder, an epidemiologist at NYU and Bellevue Hospital here in New York City. She was also on the Biden-Harris COVID transition team. Dr. Gounder, thank you for being here. Confusing times when it comes to recommendations from the CDC. This latest change from them, how do you feel about it?
It is confusing. It does feel like a bit of a choose-your-own-adventure, if this, then this, if this, then this. I think that kind of complicated algorithm might work in the ICU at a hospital, but it doesn't really work well as public health guidance.
When they say you may take a test rather than you should take a test,
yeah.
What's behind that?
That's really about availability of these rapid antigen tests, and they do remain in short supply across the country. If you have access to one of those tests, then you should definitely make use of them as part of your decision making. But unfortunately, too many people still don't have access.
I know it does feel in many ways do the hokey pokey and turn yourself around. I don't like choose your own adventure during these times. But let's talk about the PCR. We were always told that PCR is a gold standard. We're also told that you can still test positive with a PCR test, and you may not be transmissible. That's why you should take the antigen test. Mm-hmm. Then you're told you take the antigen test, and that's not always reliable. So what are you supposed to do?
I think you have to think about what is it you're testing for? For what purpose? What is the question you're trying to answer? So with the PCR test, that's really a test to determine, do you have COVID? Are your symptoms from COVID? You had a high exposure. Do you now have COVID? Mm-hmm. The antigen tests are really to determine, are you infectious or contagious to mm-hmm. other people? Mm-hmm. And so you're trying to answer slightly different questions with each of those tests.
Are you contagious is what a lot of people want to know.
So, and the antigen test best determines that.
Is that what you recommend?
Yeah.
For that question, am I a danger to other people? I'm going to go visit grandmother at the nursing home.
Okay.
Am I contagious to her? That's where the antigen test is really most helpful.
So Dr. Walensky on our air last week said it was unclear whether the antigen tests were able to predict transmissibility.
That.
But you're saying it is clear.
You know, I have to say, Dr. Walensky was one of the pioneers, actually, on working on this kind of testing, on figuring out on college campuses and in other settings, how often should you test? What is the role of rapid antigen testing? This predates her tenure at the CDC going back to 2020. So I'm a bit confused by that statement.
Yeah, you mentioned availability. The Biden administration, they are purchasing 500 million at-home tests. Will this help combat what's going on with the Omicron variant?
And Nate, when are those tests going to be available?
Over the next few weeks?
Yeah, there's a whole big thing about we purchased them, but
where are they?
We use them, yeah.
Yeah, my understanding is that this federal website will be launched sometime in the next couple weeks this month, where you will be able to go online, register, and order free tests to be delivered to you at home. 500 million tests, though, is not a lot when you have 330 million Americans. That's not even two tests per American if everybody decided they wanted to order a test.
Also, can you talk about Omicron? I'm hearing anecdotally so many people say, I got it, I have it.
But I'm good,
and I'm very careful. I don't know how I got it. I would like to know the definition of I'm good, because I keep hearing mild symptoms.
Right.
But a friend of mine told me it felt like he had swallowed razor blades.
Ooh.
Yeah. You know, that doesn't sound like the definition of mild symptoms.
But then you hear another friend say, I'm perfectly fine. Asymptomatic,
yes.
I'm good to go.
Right.
When we talk about mild, there's a whole range. Everything from I don't even know that I have COVID
yes.
to, you know, I feel like I swallowed razor blades and I have a sore throat. When we as doctors, public health officials talk about mild, what we really mean is it's not in your lungs. It's not causing your oxygen levels to drop. It's not in your other internal organs. It's really sort of upper respiratory, nose, throat. It's not going to make you deathly ill.
But so mild to you sick. Means you're not in the hospital.
You're not in the hospital.
Wow. Well, listen, with the surge in these cases, the clarification on the COVID test really helped. Dr. Gounder, thank you so much for joining us. Speaking of a rise in cases, the number from the newest outbreak are staggering. An average of more than 550,000 Americans have tested positive every day over the past week. About 10% of them are in Florida, where the average number of new cases is higher than it's ever been. A lot of those people are in hospitals. Manuel Bojorquez is at Jackson Memorial Hospital in Miami. Manuel, good morning.
Good morning to you, Nate. Hospitalizations here in Florida remain well below the highs of the Delta variant surge. But the Florida Hospital Association says they're rising fast, up 340% in the last 2 weeks. Here in Miami-Dade County, the number of averaged daily cases has never been higher, and that's leading to concerns about staffing shortages on the front lines.
The South Florida surge continues, with rising cases disrupting some essential services. At Miami-Dade Public Schools, 1,700 teachers were out sick, forcing school superintendent Alberto Carvalho to substitute teach at Miami-Jackson Senior High.
We deployed individuals who have educational certification. We're talking about support staff, coaches.
More than 10% of Miami-Dade police are out with COVID, while local hospitals are seeing an uptick in cases among staff. The maternity ward at Holy Cross Hospital was forced to close due to staffing shortages. And with new hospital admissions in Miami-Dade up 550% in just 2 weeks, the need for healthcare workers will only increase.
That is a concern we all share.
Dr. Nicholas Brozzi works at the Cleveland Clinic in Weston, outside Miami. During the Delta surge this summer, he treated 26-year-old Jada Turnbull, who spent 42 days in the hospital with COVID, 2 weeks of them in a medically induced coma.
I had a 10 to 15% chance of living.
And here you are. What words do you have for the medical staff?
Thank you.
Turnbull was placed on ECMO, a specialized machine that oxygenates blood outside the body, allowing her lungs to rest and recover.
What was it like for you when you knew that she was finally going to be okay?
Well, for us, you know, it's extremely rewarding.
But Dr. Brozzi warns spiking patient numbers and growing staff shortages make it harder for hospitals to save patients like Turnbull.
As the hospitals get strained, there is less opportunity to provide all these resources to the one single patient.
Turnbull told us she's finishing nursing school as a way to honor those who saved her life and that she got vaccinated as soon as she recovered. Those shots remain critically important. Listen to this. In the last 2 weeks, fewer than 5% of those patients admitted to Miami-Dade County hospitals have been vaccinated and boosted. Gail?
So glad she got vaccinated and that she's still with us to tell the story. Thank you, Manuel. Breaking overnight, Chicago public school officials have canceled today's classes after teachers voted to switch to remote learning due to the surge of COVID cases in that city. School officials say the union vote was illegal and the teachers do not have the authority to decide how instruction takes place. The union, on the other hand, argues that schools don't have safety protocols that need to keep the teachers and the students safe. Officials say schools will be open for essential services, including meals for the students who need them.
In other news, which was scary for a ton of people, Interstate 95 in Virginia is finally clear after Monday's powerful snowstorm, trapped hundreds of people in their cars. Some of them were stuck for more than a day in a massive backup that stretched more than 40 miles. Virginia Senator and former vice presidential candidate Tim Kaine says he was stranded for more than 26 hours.
The only thing I ate was one orange, and the only liquid I had was one 16-ounce Dr. Pepper.
Orange and a Dr. Pepper, that'll get you through. Police say a jackknife truck caused a chain reaction that eventually blocked lanes in both directions. Angry drivers said the state was much too slow to respond. Virginia's governor said crews couldn't put salt on the roads because the snowstorm started as a rainstorm. When the snow came, it fell as fast as 2 inches an hour.
I don't know if an orange and a Dr. Pepper would get me through. We're going to turn now to the first anniversary of the deadly January 6th assault on the Capitol. Former President Trump has canceled a rally scheduled to mark the occasion in his way tomorrow. And the House Select Committee investigating the attack, meanwhile, is seeking cooperation from Fox News host Sean Hannity about his communication with the White House before the riot. The committee has also expressed interest in speaking directly with former Vice President Mike Pence. Meanwhile, tomorrow's anniversary may be a struggle for some of the police officers who were beaten and abused by rioters on that day. Senior investigative correspondent Catherine Herridge sat down with a veteran Capitol Police officer who is demanding accountability. Catherine, good morning.
Tony, Sergeant Angelina Gonnell told CBS News that January 6th was the day he thought he would die.
At the west entrance, as rioters scaled scaffolding set up for the inauguration, Capitol Police Sergeant Angelina Gonnell was beaten and his spirit nearly broken. Are you suffering?
Yes. I mean, from every day for me, it's been a January 6th.
On Twitter, the 16-year veteran of the Capitol Police Force documented his injuries to dispel claims that minimize last year's violence. Gonnell told us he still can't shake the trauma.
The way I sleep, from the way the way I put my shirt on, the way I take a shower, the physical therapy twice a week, the mental health therapy once a week.
Gonnell, who testified to Congress earlier this year, is now doing administrative work rather than patrols.
It's been hard, emotionally, physically, and financially as well, too.
The Select Committee investigating the attack on the Capitol now wants to hear from Fox News host Sean Hannity about his text messages with the White House before the riots. On December 31st, Hannity texted then White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, "I do not see January 6th happening the way he is being told." 5 days later, to an unknown recipient, Hannity wrote, "I'm very worried about the next 48 hours. And on January 10th, to Meadows and Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan, "Guys, we have a clear path to land the plane in 9 days. He can't mention the election again." Hannity's lawyer told CBS News they are reviewing the committee's request. Now, nearly a year after about 140 police officers were assaulted, some with lethal weapons, Gonnell says action needs to be taken to prevent this from happening again.
If we don't put a deterrent on some of these and hold people accountable for what they did, this could be a recurring thing every 4 years.
Three more officers who defended the Capitol on January 6th are suing former President Trump for his alleged, quote, wrongful conduct inciting a riot. This lawsuit should be heard by a federal judge next week, Tony.
concept of that happening every 4 years is chilling. Catherine, thank you very much for that interview. And a reminder, tomorrow on CBS Mornings, we'll have extensive coverage of the January 6th anniversary. 1 year later, here we are. I'll anchor from the Capitol, and our reports will take a closer look at the attack and also the investigation that followed, an ongoing investigation. We're going to hear from Americans whose faith in our democratic institutions themselves have been shattered. Do you trust Congress?
Not now. Not even Republicans.
Do you trust journalists, the media?
Well, even Fox News, who we used to have respect for, you know, seems to have let us down and called the election early.
Do you trust the courts?
Oh, my.
So you have voters, you're going to hear from voters across the political spectrum who for different reasons are unified in their concern for our democracy and for what will happen every 4 years if we cannot agree on who won an election. That is tomorrow on CBS Mornings.
I'm so glad you're going to be there. Because a year later, Tony, there's still so much more to this story, so much we still don't know. So many questions.
And the hope one has that it is an isolated incident and we will move on as a country is dashed by these polls, including the CBS poll,
that
shows so many people are concerned about future violence and have doubt in our democratic institutions.
Or try to minimize what happened.
That's the hope, but the fear is that it isn't an isolated incident.
Exactly.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and host of the Money Watch podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary and it's not boring. It is a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and maybe more importantly, on your life. I'm going to be your financial coach, someone who brings common sense and an insider's perspective on how to manage your money and your emotions. And I promise we are going to have a little bit of fun along the way. Have a question from retirement to career changes to college funding? Just send us an email at askjill@jillonmoney.com. Follow Money Watch wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.